If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Wendy Snyder in for John Hansen, who was in for Bob Surratt, and now John is in for John Williams this afternoon. But I'm just excited to get to talk to Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. Good morning.
Good morning, Wendy. How are you?
I'm great. This is sponsored by JeffBuysYourHouse.com, Dean's Entertainment Report. I have heard you on with John all week. And so you went to college with John Hansen?
I did, yes. We both graduated from the University of Illinois.
Woo, Illini. All right. Well,
yes, go Illini.
You do such a great job, so I'm so excited to talk to you. Golden Globes coming up, and one of my favorite people in the world will be hosting it.
Yes. So on January 5th, the Golden Globes will broadcast, and they are hosted this year by Nikki Glaser, a stand-up comic who has really been on a big ascension ride over the last few years, and particularly known for her incredible roasts during the big, you know, like Comedy Central celebrity roast. Now, I can't exactly repeat a lot of her material.
No, you can't.
But for the Golden Globes, I'm sure she will be dialed right in for network television, but also still have a little bit of that bite that she is very much known for. I'm excited, too.
Did I read that she gave up some plastic surgery she had scheduled so she could rehearse and get ready to host this?
I believe we read the same thing,
yeah.
Although I have loved hearing her when she does, like, candid interviews or appears on a podcast. When she starts talking about plastic surgery, it's very much in a, I just want to fix this one little thing. I just want to fix this one little thing. And you think about it, it's like, Nikki, you're beautiful. I don't understand what you're talking about. But, you know, hey, whatever. That's whatever works for her. Now,
yeah, speaking of plastic surgery.
Oh, geez, yes. So this one took me a little bit by surprise, which I think it took anyone who knew who this person was by surprise. But Jocelyn Wildenstein, who the media has less than affectionately referred to as the cat lady for the better part of, you know, I believe almost 3 decades, passed away yesterday at the age of 84. And the reason it surprised me was because she just recently jumped back into the public eye, and there was an announced documentary about her as well as a reality TV series that apparently is completely in the can and ready to air.
Really?
But, according to her partner, she passed away yesterday while taking a nap, peacefully.
A cat nap?
A very sudden shock.
Sorry.
A bit of a cat nap, and that was it, yes. So I was a bit shocked because I remember first seeing her on the cover of, like, the National Enquirer at a supermarket in the late 90s, and I thought, wait, that lady? I thought she, you know, but once I pieced it all together, I realized she was on sort of a social comeback here, and it's obviously been very abruptly cut short.
And do we know her cause of death?
We don't know anything just yet. This just happened, I believe, yesterday afternoon, so, you know, obviously publicists got right to work to let the world know. But it would appear that, you know, at 84, she had extensive plastic surgeries, and extensive might even be, you know, I might be using an understatement in the biggest way there, but it's one of those things where I thought, I just saw her doing an interview about a week ago. So what transpired here? Maybe it's possible she was in failing health, and it just happened yesterday. So we'll probably find out here in the next couple weeks, I'm sure, the final cause of death.
All right, and 84, I have to be honest with you, despite the fact that she looked like a cat, there is no way, yeah, I thought she was 84. I thought she was way younger.
Same here.
Yeah!
And the more I read up on her, the more that big divorce that she went through in the late 90s that really catapulted her to a level of fame. She was married to a billionaire, and I guess was obsessed, claimed that he was obsessed with her not looking old. So it catapulted her down toward this direction of always looking young, and it's just led to more and more surgeries all the way up until, I guess, as recent as last year.
Yeah.
So at 84, I you know, not one wrinkle on her face, but what a face. is the only thing I could say. Because well, and the thing is, I recognized her immediately, but she just looked so, like, surgically creative.
I know.
It's the only word I can describe it, the only way I could describe it.
I know. So. Poor thing. And good morning to you. It's Wendy Snyder sitting in for Bob Surratt this morning. We have blockbuster Blake Stubbs on the line with us. And Blake, I'm very embarrassed because I was so excited to talk about Nikki Glaser hosting the Golden Globes. We didn't talk about any of the nominations. Totally my fault.
Oh, yes. So it's off the top of my head, it's hard to remember all of them. However, what I will say is that I know Chicago favorite, The Bear, has multiple nominations. And I doubt the show goes home empty-handed. There's a bit of a debate about whether or not the show should be considered comedy or drama. I'm not here to give an answer to that debate. I know I love the show. I know that the acting caliber of the show is so much higher than a lot of the things I see on television these days. And the production itself, in terms of how it's shot and directed and written, could not be more in my personal wheelhouse, that it's the one thing I'm cheering for at the Golden Globes. And I hope that they don't go away empty-handed. I will say that what interested me, though, too, about both the film major categories of comedy and drama is that I think you're getting a nice little indicator of several what will eventually be, you know, Oscar nominees as well. The Hollywood Foreign Press usually does a good job of sort of teeing up the Oscar picture a bit every year. And now, while those nominations won't be announced until the 17th of January, and that show won't even be until March, this is a good indicator of like what to look for come Oscar nominations day. And with, you know, up to 10 nominees in the Best Picture category every year, it can seem like a lot. But right now, you can get a head start and get a sense of, like, is this playing near me? Can I go see it? And the one movie that stands out that I'm looking forward the most to seeing, because I haven't even had access to it yet, is The Brutalist, which is a very long film shot in 70mm that's a rather sprawling drama in terms of story. And apparently it's just incredible from top to bottom. So without getting too specific about what nominees are you know, favorites here and there, I know what I'm cheering for. And when the Golden Globes come on, they're usually a much more lighter, fair of an award show. I don't know if you've watched in recent years, Wendy, but like it's more like a dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very clear that everybody just openly drinks a little bit more and has a little more fun than they do at a lot of the other award shows. So I want to say, even though it's on network-type television, anything can happen with Nikki Glaser hosting.
Oh, boy.
I think we're in for a fun night. You know, if there's one night to watch an award show and at least realize Hollywood can laugh at itself, it's the Golden Globes.
And this kicks off the whole award season time, because the Screen Actor Guild awards then come after that, and then it all just kicks into full force.
Yes, and eventually you'll have Writers Guild, Directors Guild. You'll have all these award shows that kick off until the Oscars, and a lot of them actually are great precursors for like what is likely to win on Oscar Day. So if you do follow award season, this weekend is sort of the real, I think, kickoff. Yes, I think that's the word I would, or phrase I would use to describe it, for sure.
All right. It ends with us. Everybody's suing everybody. Explain.
Yeah, everyone's suing everybody. So last year in August, a film called It Ends With Us came out. And this was a film that was made for about $25 million. It made $350 million worldwide. So it did very well. It starred Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni, who also directed the film. Now, if you followed anything about this film, you will know that it did not end with them. It just built and built during the press tour. These two, I don't believe, were seen together very much. They did not get along while making the film. There allegedly was one smear campaign that painted Blake Lively in a terrible light. There was another one that painted Baldoni in a terrible light. And we are now at a point where Blake Lively has filed a federal lawsuit, I believe, for sexual harassment against him for what went on during production. And then, as of, I believe it was yesterday, a lawsuit was filed by him against the New York Times for $250 million that I guess is going down the route of libel and an invasion of privacy. He's also hired a crisis publicist to deal with this. So it's like a battling lawsuit situation going on where I'm not sure what's true and what's not at this
point. Yeah.
We were fed one whole, you know, line of the narrative, and now we're getting a whole other side of it. And it's like, I don't quite know what is going on here. And it seems like there are quite a few people attached to Baldoni's lawsuit. But Lively's lawsuit is really just directly towards him. So that's going to unfurl over the next, I would say, months, possibly even year. So that'll probably be a recurring story throughout 2025 in some regard, if any of that stuff goes to trial, or, you know, if more layers become available to the public in terms of information for the, for whatever this massive story is. But oddly enough, it's a film that did very well. So you would have thought everybody would have just walked away and just never worked together again. But yeah, that's the, like you said, everyone suing everyone coming out of 2024.
Is it even a good movie? Did you see it? It Ends With Us?
I will admit to you, I did not see this. I don't know many who did, at least in my, you know, close circle. But I will say that, because at the time the movie came out, I was actually in a play, and I never got to go see anything for quite a while.
You were
and
busy.
By the time I was done, I was like, that's not really on my must-see list. I'll get to it later. And then later turned into right now, Wendy, and I'm just admitting to you on the air that I haven't seen it.
That's okay. So, I haven't either.
But I will say, if it's at all, if you like, you know, gossip, if you like entertainment, I hope the movie's as interesting as these lawsuits that are being filed, because to me now the story isn't even about the movie. It's about these big legal battles that are going on.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's going to make more money, because now I kind of want to go see it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, so we're speaking of 2025 when you mentioned that this lawsuit may be going on throughout the year. There's some great movies coming out this year. Why don't you give us a little tip of what's to come in 2025?
There are, and each day I've been on this week, we've been doing a little review, a little preview, so I was going to give you at least three films that I'm looking forward to this year. And the first one right off the bat is F1. Which is stands for Formula One, which is directed by Joseph Kosinski, and this is the guy who directed Top Gun Maverick to great success. And this is his next big-budget, intense racing film that is actually starring Brad Pitt, and we should see that in June. And so I've had that kind of marked down in my calendar as a day-one viewing, because I think Kosinski makes great-looking films, and I like that he's teaming with big star power. So we'll see what happens with F1, but that's number one on my list of today's movies to look forward to. Up next is going to be, I think we're all a little excited, Superman, which is sort of a giant reset of the DC film universe led by James Gunn. David Corenswet has stepped into the role of the Man of Steel, and this movie looks big. It's got a lot of familiar comic book characters in it, and it looks to set the tone for how DC moves forward, and that'll drop, I believe, July 11th.
Hmm.
And then lastly, we're looking at the Fantastic Four. Marvel has finally decided to commit to making a Fantastic Four film. This is one of the Marvel properties that has been remade multiple times and never quite hit the note that the audiences wanted. So this time around, they've gone back in time, or at least that's what it appears to be, and they're trying to tell like a classic comic book story with an all-star cast, and they haven't shown too much, just things at like D23 and whatnot, like where they do their big annual Disney events. So hopefully big trailers are going to be out soon, and people are going to start getting excited. That'll be late July. So Superman will have like 2 weeks, and then Fantastic Four will drop.
Anything coming out that's not superhero-related?
the one that I'm looking forward to, honestly, is 28 Years Later. I don't know if you're familiar with the 28 Days, 28 Weeks films.
No.
Danny Boyle directed the first film, and it was a more modern take on what a zombie film would be like. A virus infects people; they become like rabid animals. They don't have a consciousness anymore. People trying to survive. And the first film had very stark imagery of like a deserted London that was shot at wee hours of the morning with prosumer cameras, and it had a real gritty look to it. For this particular film, they decided to shoot it all on iPhones to sort of dial back the sharpness and quality of certain cameras, but they've built whole camera rigs around iPhones. So both the look, the cast, and the returning director really intrigue me, and it's not a superhero thing. It's more of a horror thing, and I'm looking forward to that. That'll be, I forget what month that comes out, but that's not too far off.
That sounds really cool.
Started to roll out. Yeah, so, and there's a host of other things coming, but it's going to be a big year for movies, I think. I think we have a lot of, well, Mission Impossible's ending, and for me, that's going to be a big emotional blow. But I'm looking forward to that as well. So.
Okay, and I don't know if I may be putting you on the spot here, but is Kylie Jenner pregnant with the offspring of the very handsome Timothée Chalamet?
I've been hearing the rumblings as well. I'm going to act like I'm really tied in and tell you that I've got feelers out, but no one's responding. And we'll see. I'm sure you'll know as soon as I do at this point. But you know what? Timmy Chalamet has been having a big year. Kylie Jenner and him have been working out really well. I'm looking forward to seeing what's next for Timmy. And if fatherhood's on the list, congratulations to them both.
That's going to be the cutest darn baby I've ever seen. I'll tell you that. Well, great to meet you, Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. Big fan of yours, so nice to meet you.
Thank you, and likewise. Look forward to talking to you again.
Oh, absolutely. Happy New Year to you.